now welcome everybody to another edition of the internationally syndicated Last Christian Radio Show. My name is J.D. Williams here in Texas. That's Mr. David Paxton here on your left, all the way from New York City.
Hey, how you doing?
David, why do liberals hate America?
I don't know, but I'm quite excited today.
Yeah.
I heard the Amish Powerball was up to 4 dozen eggs.
Oh, 4 dozen? My goodness gracious. Yeah, they're going big league now, huh?
yeah, it's going to be good.
All right, well, why don't you go ahead and pray us into this show, and then we'll get into the explanation of this that I know everybody is anxious to try to pick apart if they can. Go ahead.
Yeah, that should be fun. Father, we come before you in the name of Jesus. We thank you, Father, for you are giving us our thoughts and our ideas and concepts, and you are giving us our mindset. We thank you that our mindset can line up with your word, and we ask that you would lead us and guide us and help bring people to your throne. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Now, I want to say this real quick. Number one, you guys know I've been trying to put up, topics that we're going to cover, and I didn't create one of those today because we're going to stick pretty much with what you see there on the screen. Is, you know, why do liberals hate America? And I'm not, I have liberal friends. You know, I'm not trying to bash anybody, but I'm going to tell you why it's important that you know, that this is not about Donald Trump. This would happen anytime that you got somebody that's trying to not go in the wrong direction, basically. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to tell you guys exactly why I came up with this topic today. Usually, there's something, something that triggers a thought and then God tells me, yeah, that's the one. Okay. And this is kind of the way it went. I subscribe to a service here. It's called Neighborhood or something like that. It's a little thing online where people in your geographical area can post stuff, and it's usually something like, I've got a cat or a dog for sale, or, somebody's dog is loose, or, some silly thing like that. But in this particular case, somebody posted, does anyone know where I can find a good liberal church, because all of the churches that I go to, they seem to be too judgmental? So my reply, and I don't usually reply to these things, but I felt like I should in this case. My reply was, and I can't remember it verbatim, but I'm going to get close. Don't try to find a church that fits what you believe. Try to find a church that believes in the Bible and follow that path, because that is the path to true salvation.
Now, a lot nicer than me.
Well, I can see what this person's going through, because I went through it myself.
All right.
And that was, I always considered myself to be a Christian, David. Always considered myself to be a Christian. And I wanted to find a church I could go to, but I could still do what I wanted to do. You know, like smoke cigarettes, drink excessively, cuss like a sailor, get away with all this stuff. And I'm still, going to church.
What about bank robbing?
No, I didn't take it that far. But, just to bend it, bend the rules, and as long as the church agreed with it, well, it had to be good, right? God would have endorsed that because it came from a church. So, again, and I know I'm going to make some people mad here, but so I went to the Catholic Church, because the Catholic Church gives you the ability to have a vice. And I knew that.
Yeah. Depends on how many Hail Marys you say.
Yeah, right. So I went through after catechism classes, okay, and I finished the whole thing, but I didn't ever take First Communion, never joined a Catholic church, never even went to it. I just went once a week to these classes. There was maybe 5-6 other people in there taking it from this priest, and we weren't even allowed to read from Scripture. He was, but we weren't.
Ooh.
Okay, so all through this training that I was getting, The Holy Spirit was talking to me the whole time saying, don't do it. Don't do it. I mean, it was really strong. It was really, really, really mm-hmm. strong. Okay, so I didn't do it. And it was some years later that that I did accept Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. And so I had to adjust mm-hmm. my behavior to what God wants rather than have God adjust what he wants to do to fit me. And that was what I was trying to get across to that one individual. And again, whether or not that did any good or not, I don't know. I didn't follow through on it. I didn't follow up on it. Mm-hmm. I wasn't trying to harass them or anything like that. I just made a statement and got it over with. But that's the reason for this show, because what I wanted to do is let everybody know that there is something that we are supposed to do. You know, there is stuff that we're supposed to follow. So what I'm going to do here is put this up on screen,
mm-hmm.
which is 2 Timothy 3, 1 through 5. And David, we can go back and forth on this. I'll give you the first one, and then I'll take the next one.
All right.
So this is 2 Timothy 3. Yeah, 2 Timothy 3, 1 through 5.
Okay. All right, I read first. I get it. All right. But know this, that in the last days, perilous times will come. For men will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, unloving, unforgiving, slanderers without self-control, brutal despisers of good, traitors, headstrong, haughty, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, and having a form of godliness but denying its power, and from such people turn away.
And
so, pretty extensive.
Yeah, that was really the basis of what I was trying to tell that individual. Okay, so in continuing on here in 2 Timothy 3, 6 through 9, it says, for this sort are those who creep into household and make captives of gullible women, loaded down with sins, led away by various lusts, always learning, but never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Now, as Jannes and Jambres resisted Moses, so do these also resist the truth. Men of corrupt minds, disapproved concerning the faith, but they will progress no further, for their folly will be manifest to all, as theirs also was. And we'll go on here, David, and it's your turn with 2 Timothy 3:10 through 13.
Mm-hmm. But you have carefully followed my doctrine, manner of life, purpose, faith, long-suffering, love, perseverance, persecutions, afflictions, which happened to me at Antioch, at Iconium, at Lystra, with persecutions I endured. And out of them all the Lord delivered me. Yes. All who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution, but evil men and imposters will grow worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived.
And continuing on here, 2 Timothy 3:14 through 17, but you must continue in the things which you have learned and been assured of, knowing from whom you have learned them, and that from childhood you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. Now, David, again, I got this all just from that really quick thing I saw on this neighborhood app, okay? And I think I was giving them the right thing. I wasn't, you know, I wasn't trying to hammer anybody down, but let them know that, you know, there truly are a right and a wrong. And it doesn't matter if you find a church that agrees with your position, if it's not what God wants, that's a bad thing. It doesn't work that way, right?
Well, here's the thing. You didn't invent the place.
No.
He did.
Mm-hmm.
And he made it, and he makes the rules. That's like going to, you know, you get a car, and a car that's got a manual. Here's how everything works in this car. And you're like, no, I don't believe that. I'm just going to do what I think it does. And I'm going to put ice cream in the gas tank. Just doesn't work. Okay. You didn't make the place. It's as simple as that. So I would suggest, instead of being, an ignoramus, what you do is you find out what the creator of you and the universe has to say about it, and then follow those directions. I mean, it's as simple as that.
Right. Right. Well, I agree with you. So after I had this moment or whatever, and that was on Sunday, by the way. I don't try to bash anybody. I'm not trying to say that I'm better than they are. And, you know, the one thing that I was envisioning in this person is that they probably got into conversations with people in whatever churches they're going to, and the people were telling them what they felt was the appropriate thing, and maybe a little too aggressively with it to the point that, that pushed them away. And that's unfortunate. But at the same time, I'm sure that those people had nothing but the best intentions. And just because you disagree with something doesn't mean it's wrong. I think that people were probably trying to help this individual out, but the individual didn't want to hear that. They wanted to hear them say, well, you know, what you're doing is fine. That's fine. Just do that.
Yeah,
and God's
that's
good.
What he
with
wanted.
That. Right.
Yeah, it's okay. So just get along with everybody.
Okay. Now, we're going to get back to this, but before we do, I do want to go ahead. We are, because we're members of the U.S. Press Association, we're going to do this. But I'm keeping this really light today. So this is the one story that we're going to talk about. Here we go.
Hamas militants have released 3 Israeli hostages in frail condition, while Israel has freed nearly 200 Palestinian prisoners as part of a Gaza ceasefire agreement. The hostages' severe malnutrition has sparked outrage in Israel, increasing pressure on Prime Minister Netanyahu regarding the ceasefire's future.
The ceasefire's initial phase includes releasing 33 hostages and nearly 2,000 Palestinian prisoners, along with boosting humanitarian aid to Gaza. Upcoming negotiations are expected to be more complex, focusing on further hostage releases and potentially establishing a lasting ceasefire. Benjamin Wright reporting.
All right, now that is a little old, because there's been some developments since. And, you know, we've been talking about this on the show for a long time. Hell, we'll talk about something, and even before we can barely get it out of our mouth good, something else has changed that. That's how fast things are moving right now. But I want to take
100%.
I want you guys to take a look at this picture. Okay, now these are the 3 hostages that were released by Hamas this past Saturday. And what you see there on the bottom of your screen are the 3 hostages before they were taken captive by Hamas. And at the top of the picture there is what they look like now when they were released by Hamas on Saturday. Completely malnutrition had set in. They could barely stand up and walk. They were in very, very bad shape. And it makes you remember this, which you see their pictures down there at the bottom, and above it are the pictures of the Jews when they were released from the concentration camp under the Nazis. And to me, that looks very similar, David. How about you?
We have, it's the same, basically, spirit doing the same thing, trying to starve them out. And then, you know, it's really sad, you know, that some of these people go through. But hey, this is, you know, it was prophesied. You know, the dry bones will come together, and it's kind of the image he was getting here. Right. So we just pray for him.
Amen. Yeah. Hmm. All right. The next thing I want to get into here is that Hamas realized right away that it was obvious, I believe, to the entire world that they were not taking care of these hostages. And I saw one report in the Israeli news that said, if these are the early releases, okay, the ones that are being released first, if they're in that bad of shape, then what do the remaining ones look like? And, you know,
yeah,
that's,
I wonder if they're even still around, actually.
Yeah, that is one heck of a question. So what they did is they released this. They released this picture of this teacher. Here you can see his picture there on the left, and then his picture on the right. And they were saying, well, this is somebody that we got back. No, they did not get this individual back. This guy had been tortured, or had not been tortured, I should say, and starved by Israel. He has terminal cancer.
And Israel's taking care of him in the hospital.
Right, and they're taking care of the man, and they're being criticized for that. That's the difference between Hamas, Hezbollah, and all the other terrorist organizations, including Iran, and Israel. I mean, last time we showed you a bomb that went off right in front of a guy on a motorcycle, you know, and it didn't even hurt him, but it went down deep into the ground, a bunker buster bomb that took care of a terrorist. So Israel takes care of, you know, they do everything they possibly can not to kill people, and the other side does everything they can to kill people. I mean, come on now.
Yeah, because they operate on fear, and that's what they do. We'll make them scared, so they'll do what we tell them. That's what the devil does.
Yeah.
You know, and we remember the video from last week where the Saudi man was telling them, we don't want you here.
Right.
You're not even part of us. We're friends with Israelis. I don't know what you're doing. You're not allowed here. You're not allowed in my house. I'm not going to feed you. Just go away.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I don't even know. I don't know what to say about that. It's just insane. It's just totally insane what they're doing to different people. Now, also want to show you guys something from our vice president. I think this one is something that you should see. J.D. Vance, you see all these executive orders that are coming out by President Trump, and the courts are doing everything that they can to slow it down. And he said, if a judge tried to tell a general how to conduct a military operation, that would be illegal. If a judge tried to command the attorney general in how to use her discretion as a prosecutor, that's also illegal. Judges aren't allowed to control the executive's legitimate power, which is an executive order. But they're doing that, David. Why do you think they're doing that? And that plays directly into why liberals hate America.
Yeah, they're terrified. They've been milking the system. They're evil. They've been using it for their own power and money. And now, you know, the jig is up. They're caught. It's as simple as that. You know, they're out there complaining against DOGE, you know, the Department of Government Efficiency, because they got caught. Why aren't they complaining about the people who are wasting the money? No, they're not doing that. They're complaining about the guy who found out that they're wasting the money. And it's just, it's ridiculous. And they, you know, they come up with these narratives to try and sway people's opinions. So, you know, if you're a sheeple and ignorant, you're going to follow them and say, oh, look, he's coming after my Social Security check. Well, no, he's not. He's fixing the government like he did with Twitter. And, you know, like him or hate him, but that's what he's doing. It's as simple as that. He they're like, oh, Twitter's got, you know, now X has less revenue now. But here's the deal. They're making more profit on less revenue. So he's going to do that with the government. There's going to be less money going through the government, and the government's going to be efficient. And, you know, we just hope this continues and stays this way. That's all.
Yeah. Well, you know, just speaking about the profitability there of X, I don't think that Elon Musk would be happy if his company wasn't making money. He's not about that. He's, you know, I mean, he's secular. He wants to make as much money as he can, and he's done a good job of that, seeing as how he's the richest man in the world. You know, he's not going to stick with a company that loses money for him. It's obviously making enough, and the people that work for him are obviously making enough, or they'd find another job. So, you know, if he can do the same thing with the United States government, I'm all for it. I say go for it, you know. Go for it and, you know, help us out here a little bit. I saw a guy on TV say something similar. You know, what if we could solve our problems with inflation and costs across the board if by cutting government waste we fixed all that? Mm-hmm. You know, that seems like that seems like a perfect thing to do, and yet liberals think it's the worst thing in the history of time that we're not paying for comic books in Iran
I suggest just go look it up, the list.
Stupid things, you know, that are cut. Sunday, when the Super Bowl was played, there was some information that was leaked out earlier in the day that said that Elon mm-hmm. Musk had bought 5 30-second commercials for a total of $40 million that he was going to run on during the Super Bowl. And liberals were quiet all day long, as they were quiet as a church mouse, fearing what those commercials might show of them. So
I think it was trolling them. That'd be perfect. And he didn't have to pay the $40
million. and I'll be honest with you, David and I both were watching the Super Bowl hoping for one of these ads to play.
Yeah, I'm like... I don't even watch it, but I got to watch it just for these commercials. And then my ears started bleeding at the halftime show. It was horrible.
I turned that off. I did see where...
I should have, but I was waiting for the commercial.
I did see where there was somebody that broke loose with a Palestinian flag in the middle of the commercial. Did you happen to, or in the middle of that halftime show?
I didn't see that part because it was just bad. I was just waiting for the commercial. And it does have the honor of actually being voted the worst halftime show ever.
Oh, good.
I don't know if you've seen that all over. Everybody.
Mm. Mm. Well, I saw clips of it, and when I saw those clips, I was like, I sure am glad we missed that. That was terrible.
I saved those 10 minutes of my life.
Yeah, I've always enjoyed Super Bowl commercials in the past, but the last couple of years they've been bad. The last couple of years they just haven't been there, you know. So
even Bud Light's trying to redeem itself now. Did you see? It's like now instead of fruitcake they had on there, they got all these tough guy men who are doing crazy man things. You know, don't tell the HOA that my lawnmower is a barbecuer too. I'm like, it's just 100% shift. They had to do something. They lost, you know, all that market share.
Yeah.
They got to do something to try and look manly again.
Well, the only other comment I'd have on that is they only showed Donald Trump one time. And that's when he first got there. And mm-hmm. as soon as the crowd started cheering, they cut away from it, and you never saw him again. then they showed Taylor Swift. The mm-hmm. crowd was booing her, and she looked – I've got a clip of it somewhere. I guess I should have loaded it because it's kind of funny. She looked so confused and lost because she was being booed. I mean, roundly booed. It wasn't even. It was bad. So we didn't.
Why they hate me? Because they're not a bunch of little girls.
Yeah. Well, Trump came out with a thing and said that MAGA is unforgiving. He said there was only one person that had a worse day than the Chiefs, and that was Taylor Swift, because MAGA is unforgiving.
It's true.
And that fit really, really well. Anyway, I don't want to get too far off on this stuff here. But,
why not? It's fun.
I've got a bunch of stuff here, and I guess I'll start with the ceasefire stuff first, and then we'll go to the Antichrist we're going to talk about in the second half of the show. But let's look at this. The terror organization Hamas has declared it will suspend the planned rounds of hostage releases indefinitely. They made the statement on Monday citing alleged Israeli violations of the ceasefire agreement. Israel's defense minister has called Hamas's action a complete violation of the ceasefire agreement, adding that he instructed the Israeli Defense Forces, the IDF, to remain at the highest level of alert for any possible scenario in Gaza and to protect the communities. He said, "We will not allow a return to the reality of October the 7th. Now, that's really about all the time I've got for to go into that particular thing there, but what do you think of that, David, that Hamas has all of a sudden decided that it's not going to, and I know we're going to talk about this a lot more, but go ahead.
Yeah, well, we all know that it wasn't all of a sudden. We talked about that when they first came out with the deal, and everybody was complaining. Yeah, wait a minute, you're going to trade, you know, 100 hostages for every one of theirs and and then give them, you know, here's a doll, for, you know, and you're allowed to stay out until 12 instead of 8. I mean, they gave them all sorts of just ridiculous things, and we knew why. Because no matter what you give them, they're not going to keep the agreement. So now here we are. We set this amazing agreement in place. And we say, watch what happens. Now, how can anyone in the world say that, hey, we're not doing a good thing? They gave them a ridiculously one-sided agreement, and they still can't keep it. This is what we knew from the beginning. They're not going to keep it because they're Muslim. That's their rules. Okay, and these people don't get it. You think you're going to play the same rules as a Muslim. They're not playing by the same rules. They're not. They're not going to say, hey, let's all work this out and be nice to each other. They're going to look at anything you do as trying to be nice as a sign of weakness. Only thing they understand is strength. When you go over and you start kicking their butts, then they're going to respect you and they're going to do what they're told. Okay, that's the only way it's going to happen. You're not going to negotiate with these people. Simple as that.
I agree. Yeah, and I believe you said President Trump came up with something about that also, and we'll get into that in the second half of the show too. We just don't have enough time to get into it, and I do want to get into this deep, and also about the Antichrist, which really plays into all of this, because the Antichrist is in the world. The Antichrist has been in the world for a long time. That's something that you guys may not know, but I mean, and I'm not talking about the Antichrist, but the spirit of the Antichrist has been in the world for since the beginning, right, David?
Yep, hasn't changed.
All right, guys, what we want you to do is hang in there with us, and in the second half, we are going to get into that. We'll talk a little bit more about the ceasefire, or if it's going to hold or not. And, of course, about the Antichrist. Y'all hang in there with us, and we'll be back after a very short break with the second half of Last Christian.
Are you weighed down by life's issues and challenges? Do you need rest from the day-to-day grind? Then the Word of God broadcast is your listening station. The Word of God broadcast is a Christ-centered ministry, sharing God's marvelous Word. Here you will find you rest from the things of the world. Join us each Saturday at 7 p.m. Eastern or 6 p.m. Central Time on Revelation Radio Broadcast. The Word of God broadcast plants the seeds, and the Holy Spirit adds the essential nutrients to ensure every soul's growth for the harvest of Jesus' soon return. If you want to learn more about God's Word, eternal life, and His Son, Jesus Christ, join us each Saturday at 7 p.m. Eastern or 6 p.m. Central Time on KRRB Revelation Radio.
Ready to start your day on a new level? Meet Everyday Dose, the coffee alternative that's more than just a caffeine fix. Check out more and grab your first dose at everydaydose.com/hiddenday. Why it's different. Everyday Dose combines premium coffee with brain-boosting ingredients like mushrooms and collagen, giving you focus, energy, and mental clarity without the jitters or crashes. It's the clean energy your body craves. Check out these benefits you'll love. Say goodbye to coffee crashes. Boost your mental clarity and focus. Support your immune system and overall wellness. Feel energized naturally without the anxiety or jitters. Perfect for busy professionals, health enthusiasts, or anyone ready to upgrade their daily routine. Again, that's everydaydose.com/hiddenday.
KRRB Grand Saline, Canton, Mineola, Texas.
Are you ready to deepen your walk with Jesus? Join Norman Smith on Run with Horses, the weekly radio show dedicated to helping you follow Jesus well. In Jeremiah 12:5, God challenges us to pick up the pace and prepare to run with horses. Jesus calls us to take up our cross and follow him. The journey is tough, but always worth it. Tune in every Saturday evening at 7:30 p.m. Eastern, 6:30 p.m. Central on revelationradio.net for an all-new edition of Run with Horses. Explore topics like biblical discipleship, healthy marriage, and building a godly family. Don't miss Run with Horses every Saturday evening at 7:30 p.m. Eastern, 6:30 p.m. Central, right here on KRRB, revelationradio.net. For more information or to listen to past broadcasts, be sure to visit runwithhorses.net.
And welcome back, everybody, to the second half of Last Christian. Again, my name is J.D. Williams here in Texas. That's Mr. David Paxton in New York City. David, we're talking about the ceasefire before we got out of the first half there. I want to continue that a little bit. And let's take a look at this one real quick. According to a statement by its spokesman, and I won't attempt the name, I won't even try the better known name. Yeah, Hamas had monitored Israeli violations and failures to abide by the terms over the past 3 weeks before deciding to retaliate. The handover of the Israeli prisoners who were scheduled to be released next Saturday, February the 15th, will be postponed until further notice, until Israel commits to and compensates for the past weeks retroactively, and we affirm our commitment to the terms of the agreement as long as Israel commits to them. And that is the biggest bunch of hogwash that I've heard here.
Or they don't even say anything. They just say, you didn't keep to the deal. Well, what exactly?
Yeah,
what
like
precisely?
What? Yeah, like yeah, what?
It's a lie.
Man,
Yeah, and after the last batch came home, we showed their pictures. Mm-hmm. I think this is why they're doing it, because Netanyahu says this is now the end of Hamas. We will annihilate every single one of them, is what he said.
Mm-hmm.
All right, so now they're terrified again. But we knew from the beginning they weren't going to keep this. Right. And that is precisely why they did it. So the world's not going to get on their case about going in and destroying it. And they're not going to get on, us for going and taking over Gaza and rebuilding it and making it the Riviera of the Middle East. So Trump said today after this, they're like, okay, now Hamas, you better release every last hostage by Saturday at noon, or there will be hell to pay.
Yeah. So David's got some information there that I have not even received yet.
It just came out as we're talking.
Yeah. So that one, what do you think is going to happen? We were talking about this a little bit. We were texting each other during the Super Bowl a little bit, and David said, we need to come up with a segment, this wasn't on our bingo card type deal.
Yeah, prophecy bingo.
Yeah, and
this stuff comes up on our bingo card.
So to kind of get into that a little bit, what do you think is going to come of this, David? At 12 noon, whatever time, I guess it's Eastern time, on this coming up week. Mm-hmm. What do you think is going to happen when they don't comply? Because they're not going to comply, right?
They're going to pretend to comply or maybe release a couple of them and then say, you didn't meet our demands or whatever. But the bottom line is this. They know that this guy isn't going to say, remember Bugs Bunny and Yosemite Sam? I dare you to cross this line. There you go. Well, now this one. So that's Biden playing with everybody and Obama. Mm-hmm. They're just pretending to, be tough. But here's a guy that not only was tough to begin with, but now he's like, listen, I should have been dead, so I really don't care about anything. He's not going to play with him. He's just not going to play with him. You watch. We'll be over there, and then he'll be having a news conference saying, oh, by the way, we're there right now, and this is what's happening. It's going to be way before they even suspect it's coming.
Yeah.
They're guaranteed.
Yeah. Well, you know, I'm looking forward to seeing exactly what it's going to be, because Donald Trump, you know, I mean, he'll negotiate, you know, the art of the deal. I know, heard a lot, yeah. You know, he'll negotiate.
Which is why he did that.
But he also will stand up and do what he says he's going to do. So, you know, they better watch out. They just better watch out.
Yeah.
All right, here's...
And if I were to guess, I would say, yeah, they're just, watch out. We're going to go in and we're going to take over and straighten this thing out in a couple of days.
Yeah, and it's very possible. This, continuing on now, and by the way, all this is coming out of the Israeli news, all Israel news, I should say. A political source later briefed Israeli media outlets that Prime Minister Netanyahu had convened a security consultation to discuss possible responses. The hostages' directorate, is that how you say that?
Directorate
in the Prime Minister's office stated that the hostage families were informed of Hamas's announcement. I'm quoting them here. It says, it was emphasized to the families that the State of Israel insists on upholding the agreement as it stands and views any violation as serious. Now, Hamas's statement came after the Israeli delegation returned on Monday morning from talks about the ceasefire's second stage in Qatar. Remember now, they were going to, you know, this first stage is now complete. They have released everybody that both sides agreed to release for the first stage of this, except for the final one, which was supposed to be this coming up Saturday. And then it was supposed to be a second phase. And so they went in to negotiate the second phase, and now all of a sudden Hamas isn't going to finish the first phase, and so now we're back to square one. Again, kind of expected, right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. It's just the way they run. So it'll be expected. Now we have the perfect excuse to go in and take over, and that's a beautiful thing.
Yeah, agree. Okay. Mm-hmm. Continuing on here. According to Channel 12 News, the team impressed upon the mediators that Hamas's conduct, particularly its staged release ceremonies and the hostages' atrocious medical condition, could endanger the ceasefire. Delegation members emphasized that Israel had fulfilled all stipulated agreements, including the withdrawal from the Netzarim corridor.
Netzarim
corridor and the opening of the Rafah border crossing. In its statement, Hamas listed Israel's delay of the return of displaced residents of northern Gaza, opening fire at civilians, and limiting the entry of humanitarian aid as claimed violations. On its part, the terror group insisted it had implemented all its obligations. I don't think so. And the reason that they're not letting these people back into northern Gaza is because there's no place for them to go. The place
it's not
is
that
destroyed.
They're not letting them.
It's destroyed.
There's nothing there.
Yeah.
And I 100% Israel's not firing at civilians. Sorry.
No.
You're never going to get me to believe that.
No.
I know a handful of ex-Israeli soldiers, okay, both men and women, and there's no way. There's just no way.
Mm-hmm. I agree. Okay. Israel delayed allowing the return of residents to northern Gaza to pressure Hamas into releasing civilian female hostage Orbel Yehud as part of the agreement. Several days ago, Hamas had already alleged that only 76 aid trucks had entered Gaza so far, so they couldn't steal the stuff that was on them. Contradicting data published by the IDF showing that over 12,000 trucks carrying humanitarian aid have entered the enclave since the ceasefire began last month. Regarding the allegations of Israeli soldiers firing on civilians, the IDF reiterated several times in several days that civilians were still prohibited from approaching certain areas within the Gaza Strip, including remaining IDF posts and border fencing areas. And I'll just finish this off real quick here. Channel 12 News reported that dozens of Gazans came within several hundred meters of the border near, what is that, David? Nahal Oz. On Sunday, causing the IDF to open fire in order to disperse them. Gazan sources claim three people were killed as a result. Organizations representing the hostage families reacted with shock and outrage at Hamas's statement. The mainstream hostages and missing families forum appealed to the mediating countries for rapid assistance to restore the implementation of the deal, while calling on the Israeli government to refrain from actions that jeopardize the implementation. You notice that always the criticism is at Israel. Every time it's at Israel, you know, never mind what they did, right?
Yeah, they're nice and they fire a warning shot, and now you're shooting at civilians and you killed three. No, you didn't. It's the same thing as that guy had cancer. Same idea. They make up something and they do a lie.
Yeah.
I remember when it first started, at the war after they violently attacked Israel, and then Israel started to come back at them. They were making all these videos to put on TikTok and stuff, and the kids and they're like this, and the people and the things and the rap, and they've demonstrated, and then they show the rest of the video, and people got wind of the rest of the video, and then they'd get up and walk around there. So just all acting, all of it was acting, and then they had the same people in different locations dying. So wait a minute, I thought he died over there. Same guy. Same everything, and then
they stage a lot.
So they're
of stuff.
Making up everything. Yeah,
yeah, they stage a lot of stuff. I've noticed that over time. So why, what's the deal here? And again, why liberals hate America? And notice I didn't say Democrats. I said liberals, because there's liberals in the Democratic Party and the Republican Party, and there's independents. There is nobody's. There's liberals everywhere. Just like the lady that I was talking about at the first of the show. So What I wanted to know is the characteristics of an Antichrist. The Bible describes the Antichrist as deceptive, lawless figure who opposes Christ and seeks to lead people away from the truth. The term Antichrist appears explicitly in 1 John and 2 John, while related figures are described in Daniel, Matthew, 2 Thessalonians, and Revelation. The main characteristics: number one, opposes and replaces Christ, from 1 John 2:22. Who is the liar? It is whoever denies that Jesus is the Christ. Such a person is the Antichrist, denying the Father and the Son. The Antichrist denies Christ's divinity and leads people to reject. Second is a deceiver and a false teacher, 1 John 4:3. Every spirit that does not confess Jesus is not from God. This is the spirit of the Antichrist. He spreads false doctrine and misleads people into spiritual deception. Do you agree with those characteristics that are listed there, David?
Yeah, those are just a couple as well.
I got more coming. I got more coming.
It means pseudo-Christ. It means one who pretends to be Jesus.
Okay.
So here they are. And that's why the libtards will, they'll follow this. We welcome everybody and all this other stuff. Inclusiveness. And it sounds good, but on the surface, it's just rooted in self-righteousness. Mm-hmm. But that's what he likes. So the weak-minded people will just fall for it, basically.
All right.
Yeah.
Well, as you
and
said,
yes,
there's more.
Weak-minded, because it's true.
Yeah. I told you there's more. Here's lawlessness and rebellion. From 2 Thessalonians 2, 3, and 4, the man of lawlessness is revealed, the son of destruction, who opposes and exalts himself against every so-called god or object of worship. He's characterized by lawlessness and rebellion against God's moral order. Number 4, claims to be God. This is in 2 Thessalonians 2. Verse 4, he will take his seat in the temple of God, proclaiming himself to be God. The Antichrist exalts himself as divine and demands worship. And I fail to say this right off the top. Not every one of these characteristics is something that is always a characteristic of a particular Antichrist. Because we've had Antichrists all through history, including Adolf Hitler, for instance, or Mussolini, or people like that. So wouldn't you agree with that too, David, that you don't have to have all these characteristics to count as an Antichrist?
Well, right. They're not all blaring. So, but these are the things we need to look for. If there's any of these things, then you need to be suspect. And that's really where we're at.
Agree. Okay, so moving on here to number 5, performs signs and wonders to deceive. Again, 2 Thessalonians 2, 9 through 10. the coming of the lawless one is by the activity of Satan with all power and false signs and wonders. The Antichrist uses miraculous signs to deceive people into following him. Number six here, he brings persecution against believers. Daniel 7:25 says, he shall speak words against the Most High and shall wear out the saints of the Most High. He opposes true believers and seeks to destroy them. Would you like to comment on that one?
Yeah, I mean, it all fits into the same thing, but I like that last one where he, you know, he pretends to be, so he's got the mm-hmm. words of the Most High, mm-hmm. and he'll continually throw heresy at people to try and get them to believe it, like, you know, like Calvinism, you know, they're mm-hmm. going to continue to throw this heresy at you over and over and over and over and over and over from different angles to try mm-hmm. and wear you out. That's one aspect of how this doing, but also it just gets weary, like with the mm-hmm. flat earthers. It's like, come on already.
Mm-hmm. Well,
right, the earth is not flat, and you're misusing that, and you're driving people away from the Bible by saying that the Bible says it's flat. Yeah, okay, it's going to wear people out.
Well, there you go. That's at Daniel 7:25. There he shall speak words against the Most High and shall wear out the saints of the Most High. And you know, that's just exactly what you said, and that's exactly what's going on in the world right now, in my opinion, anyway. So moving on to this one now. This is number seven. Global political and economic control. That's Revelation 13, 16, and 17. It causes all, both small and great, both rich and poor, both free and slave, to be marked on the right hand or the forehead, so that no one can buy or sell unless he has the mark. The Antichrist exerts control over the world's, or the Antichrist exerts control over the world's economy and governance. And then number eight, they're ultimately defeated by Christ. Revelation 19 and 20, the beast was captured, and with it the false prophet who had performed the signs on its behalf. The two of them were thrown alive into the fiery lake of burning sulfur. And I know you got lots to say on that one, David.
Yeah, it might even be a river, because there's the river that we see in the Matzaroth, but that's interesting. Mm-hmm. I gotta look that word up. Is it a river or lake? In either case, it's yeah, like molten lava. Yeah, could be either one. Mm-hmm. In either case, you don't want to be in it.
No.
So, put it back up again. I lost my.
Sure. Hold on 1 second here. Let me get it back up here for
talking
you.
About the river.
Yeah, okay. That's no problem.
Go, yeah, oh, go. Here. That's where I was going. Okay. So, well, a lot of people don't realize is that it's a false trinity.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So, that's what he does. That's why he says the false prophet, and then the beast, and then the Antichrist. So, the beast would be analogous of Satan to pretending to be God the Father, and then the Antichrist would be obviously the false Jesus, and then the false prophet is a false Holy Spirit. So that's why you see that playing there. It's not just one person, it's a conglomerate. And I see that, you know, and one possibility is like the Pope saying, hey, we got this new religious leader. Now we just forget everything we've ever learned, and we're going to follow him. And then that he's the false prophet that brings the world of religious people under, you know, the false premises of this Antichrist. Mm-hmm. And sadly, most people will fall for it.
Sadly, you know? You're correct. Yeah. Okay. All right. I got one last slide on this one. And this is, despite his power, the Antichrist will be overthrown and judged by Christ at his return. So in summary here, the Antichrist is a deceptive, lawless, and blasphemous figure who opposes Christ, claims divine authority, deceives through signs, persecutes believers, and gains global power. However, he is ultimately destroyed by Jesus at his second coming. And I feel like that right now, that liberals that are, you know, everybody wants you to blame Donald Trump for everything under the sun. But whenever you think about what he's actually doing, okay, he wants to remove people that came to the country illegally and make them go home.
Criminals first.
Yeah, he wants to have the laws that are on the books that were voted on by Congress restored and not thrown out. He wants to get rid of sanctuary cities. who say, yeah, if you're illegal, come here, we'll protect you. Oh, we'll protect you over the citizens that were born here. They have no mm-hmm. rights. You have all the rights.
And the money.
Yeah, he wants to protect the Constitution of the United States as written, not as thought about. I'm sorry. It all sounds legit to me. What about that don't you like? Is would be my question, right?
Yeah, and they've been fed this bill of goods. The lies that have just been coming over. I mean, even Elizabeth Warren gets on there and says there's nothing in the Constitution that says blah blah blah. That you know, basically, there's nothing in the Constitution that says that the ordinary citizen has. Can you believe she said that? Ordinary citizens mm-hmm. have a right to see what we spend our tax dollars on. I'm like, excuse me. The ordinary citizens, you're the one that works for the ordinary
right.
citizens.
Yeah.
Okay. And it's not your tax dollars. Mm-hmm. But that's a quote. There is nothing in the Constitution that says ordinary citizens have a right to see what we spend our tax dollars on, except there's a problem. Article 1, Section 9, Clause 7 says no money shall be drawn from the Treasury, but in consequence of appropriations made by law, and a regular statement and account of the receipts and expenditures of all public money shall be published.
Period.
I don't know what she's talking about.
Well, she doesn't
needs
either.
To be locked up.
Yeah, she doesn't know what she's talking about either. That's the problem.
Yeah, she was told to say yeah. this, and because she's terrified, because she mm-hmm. got a vast majority. Or she's got a really good portion of that money herself.
Mm-hmm.
So,
mm-hmm. Well, a couple other things here real quick, and then we'll finish it off. But I want you guys to see this real quick. Now, there is there's some Arabian music playing in the background. I've lowered it as much as I can. But it's a real short clip here. But here's the deal. Israel is telling these Gazans to relocate. You know, Trump is saying, you know, we're gonna have to get the Gazans out of here in order to build it. You know, the place mm-hmm. is destroyed. So Egypt, in violation of their agreement, their peace agreement with Israel, has done this right here. These are, and the music it didn't play. That's not that it matters, but I'll put it on there. These are Egyptian tanks, mm-hmm. and they are on the border. They're on the Gazan border.
This keeping is the Gazans out.
Yeah, this is so. In other words, they're right. They're coming at Israel with this. Okay, that's a violation, and it's kind of scary. Is Egypt? Because I don't remember right off the top of my head. I honestly don't. Is Egypt involved in Gog Magog? That's my question.
Well, it'd be Mitzrayim. And, I think they're in it. I think the Saudis are actually against the Antichrist. Mitzrayim, I think they're actually going to side with Israel, if I'm not mistaken. I got to go back and look.
Yeah.
But the pyramid, it says the altar in the midst and at the border. So there's a lot of, okay, is it Mitzrayim the people, or is it the country, is it the location? Mm. So it's all suspect and open to conjecture until it actually happens, and it's designed that way.
Mm-hmm.
You know, yeah. God designs it that way. I can say this. It didn't work the last time they tried to come against Israel.
It sure didn't.
In 1967.
Yeah. Yeah.
So maybe they should rethink that. But yeah. more, if I were to guess, they're trying to keep the Palestinians from coming into
Egypt.
That's
exactly what I was thinking too. I don't think they're coming after Israel. I think they're trying to deter the Palestinians from entering Egyptian territory. That's what I think's happening.
It's like scaring the cockroaches out so you can step on them.
Yeah, but at the same time, it's scaring Israel. You know, because, well, I mean, yeah. They've been attacked a couple of times, right? More than that, but you know, they've been under siege for a long, long time, so it's got to scare them. One other thing,
I have to dig that out again because it's forever changing with the landscape.
Now, David, I even told you that I had lost this, and then I saw it. Now I've lost it again. Let me see if I can find it again. During the during the campaign, Donald Trump was facing the, I've lost it. I don't know what happened to it, so I guess we'll get it. Here it is. Look at this real quick, okay? This is more info on the Iran's Trump assassination attempt. Iran's assassination threat on Trump forced extraordinary security measures, including a decoy plane, after law enforcement warned of an Iranian of Iranian operatives in the United States with surface-to-air missiles. During a Pennsylvania trip, Secret Service agents spotted a drone tracking Trump's motorcade. They opened the moonroof and took it down with an electromagnetic gun. And you had some comments on that, right?
Yeah, that's easy enough to do. Basically, you're frying the radio system of the drone, so it's not going to work anymore. So the guy with the remote on the other end, they just lose connection. And then the drone, you could either just shut it off, or you can actually trigger like a landing. Like an emergency landing, and it'll just go.
Yeah, I think that's what they were doing. And you got one last thing here that you ought to give you a giggle. Okay, take a look at this. Just in, Oxford scientists claim to have achieved teleportation using a quantum supercomputer. What do you think of that?
Wow, now we know we're near the end.
I guess that's another way that Christians disappear, right?
Yeah, because, here's the deal. In our spirits, we can do that already. I mean, Jesus kind of just showed up in the upper room, right?
Mm-hmm. Right.
He's like, hey, what? Where'd you come from?
Walk through the wall. Yeah. Yep.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. So all the doors were locked because they were terrified at that point. And then he shows up. Isn't that something? So when we see him face to face, we will be like him.
Mm-hmm.
So... And you know what? The idea of teleportation wouldn't even be there unless we could do that in our spiritual bodies. Mm-hmm. So that just makes sense to me. They're trying to figure it out because the Nephilim are trying to get back to where they were.
Yeah, there you go.
I used to do that before I committed sin.
Yeah. So the bottom line here, people, is that, and it's not really just liberals. There are some conservatives, I think, that probably fall into the same thing of, I'm going to do what I want to do and God will approve of that, when in fact that's not the case. If it is a sin, if God says it's a sin, it's a sin, and nobody here in the world can say otherwise. So we suggest that you accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior now. And David, take us out of the show with why they should do that.
Well, because I said so. because it's probably a really good idea.
Right.
I mean, this at the point where you can teleport, you don't want to be stuck in a burning lake of fire, which doesn't allow you to teleport anywhere. That's not going to be fun. Mm-hmm. And here's the deal. God invented light. So if you choose to be without him, you have no light. God is the bread of life. So without him, you have no bread. He's living water. Mm-hmm. So without him, you have no water, okay? And he is healing, and he is joy and peace and love. So if you choose to be without him, he's going to honor that, all right? So don't get mad at him if he sends you into the abyss first and then the judgment seat in the lake of fire, because that's what you asked for.
Mm-hmm.
So I would suggest that if you want light and food and water and you want peace and love and joy, that you would seek out the author of it, okay? Because he actually paid for your sins. And Lord willing, if we're still here, we'll see you guys on the next show. You have a blessed day.
Thanks again for joining us today for The Last Christian Radio Show. And be sure to tune in every Tuesday, Thursday, and Saturday right here and at www.lastchristian.net. Until the trumpet sounds.
Looking for bold, faith-filled inspiration? tune in to The Last Christian Radio Show. Available on KRRB Revelation Radio 1700 AM in East Texas and internationally syndicated in over 160 countries on revelationradio.net, this powerful program dives into faith, hope, and salvation. Join us every Tuesday, Thursday, and Saturday evening at 8:30 p.m. Eastern, 7:30 p.m. Central for life-changing conversations and messages.